Hello and welcome to Jabberjaw. I'm your host, Jessica Dawson Collier, and with me as always is Tyson Wheeler Dynas and Matthew David Smith. Guys, welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey. Hi. Did anybody else hear a very weird alien sound?
Yeah, okay. I wondered if we should restart it.
I didn't hear it, so I'm fine.
I'm fine too. I feel like we're good to go now.
You think we'll just leave it out there then? We'll let the audience decide whether or not there was an audible fuzz at the start of the podcast.
Enjoy.
It did,
like,
kind of sound
on a peach.
It did sound alien-like. It was a little alien-like.
It's one of those malicious planets from last week's show.
Oh, God, they're still after us?
It's only been a week. I mean, they're not going to give up after a week that we thought about possibly happening. So
that's true.
Yeah, true.
Like a week in universe time is like nothing.
That's true.
Actually,
a week at this age seems like nothing, weirdly enough.
I'm aging like the universe is expanding. That's depressing. Wow, that's,
a little bit.
Just getting further out, dude. Just further and further out. All right, we'll go with aliens at this point in time.
That's a legitimate excuse.
Aliens sound exactly like a headphone jack half plugged in. So
I believe that's what Seti told us. So yeah, that sounds good.
So it's been hot out there, huh, guys? It's been hot.
It's 98 degrees here right now. I guess it's cooling off, but yes, it's very hot. It's very hot. We went to see Shakespeare in the Park last night and it was hot.
Oh, was it?
Well, you know, it was the coolest night they said that it had since they started it, and it was at clocking in around 92 degrees. So,
wow.
But you know, it was in the shade, and there was a breeze. We were still sitting.
Did you guys make a little picnic?
Yeah, we took a blanket, and we went with some friends, and we packed entirely too much food. It was Romeo and Juliet. Just kind of, I was like, eh. But actually, I really liked it because it was a. I didn't realize. Here's two things about Romeo and Juliet that I think shouldn't even need to be said, but I'm just going to say it. First off, the second half of Romeo and Juliet, kind of a bummer. Not great. Not fun. There's a lot of like stabbing and dying and dying. This is
spoiler alert.
Yeah. But what I didn't realize was how funny the first half was, because I guess I've just seen it on TV and they've always played it very straight or on movies or whatever. And these guys played it like two flibberty gibbet, like 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, you know, falling in love for the first time.
Right.
It was very much like clueless. It was silly. and it was, so I liked that. There was some weirdness, definitely for sure. It's Shakespeare in the Park, so like.
How are the actors, by the way?
They're great. I mean, they were all good. I mean, the guy, Romeo's been on like some TV shows. He's been on The Walking Dead and some other stuff, and everybody was good. The nurse was very good. That's actually her name, Nurse. So I mean, I'm not just being like, it's just Nurse. It was good. The nurse was a lot like she reminded me of Melissa McCarthy's character Suki in Gilmore Girls. It's very much like
that.
Interesting,
and, adorable.
It was very cute. But anyway, it was hot, and it was funny because there were fireflies everywhere, and people were like swatting at them a little bit, but like
really. That's
kind of
nice.
Well,
COVID just turned everybody into dicks. Like that COVID just turned everybody into.
Yeah.
Well, Smith
blames COVID for murdering fireflies.
That 2 years, like we were denied humanity. Now, so yeah, no, it's.
So here's the funny thing about it. Like, I kind of got it because, you know, I don't know if you've ever like watched fireflies. They just kind of fly in place. Kind of, they're like the hummingbirds of bugs, you know. They just kind of hover, you know.
They're shining
their butts everywhere trying to get laid, and so they're just like kind of hovering, and they would just kind of hover right by people's heads, and people were like, oh, I can't hit a firefly. But after a while they're like, get this fucking thing out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
You're right, I can't judge based on the heat being experienced and at what act part of the, yeah, I know you're right. You're right.
Well, here's the thing. It added a lot to the actual performance. I mean, it was cool, you know, it was really cool. But, you know, the other end of the thing was, it was like, okay, I get it. You're a firefly, yeah. You know, but you're still a bug. So get the fuck out of here. Yeah. But,
yeah. You're still a bug at the end of the day.
Superior to you, yes.
You're my favorite bug. Like saying, you're my
don't
favorite.
Don't you forget it.
Yeah, that was like just, I saw like our first lightning bug. I, it's bad because I used to call them lightning bugs as kids, but I think I've adopted the more regionally appropriate fireflies.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Pretty interchangeable here, I think.
I just think I saw the first ones here 3 or 4 days ago. So always an exciting time.
It is. I love it.
Yeah.
Do you know, they have like, I think I was reading it, they have like 300 different shades of color that they, and because there's 300 different species of those things, and they each have their own color combination so they can tell the difference between each other. So they don't cross-pollinate species. That was one wicked long Wikipedia hole I fell in one day.
It is easy to do. Oh my God.
As it happens.
That's interesting. I
could be completely wrong, but because it's been a minute, but I know that there's like hundreds of different shades, and they're all just slightly different. And sometimes, you know, you will see two different species in our backyard because you can tell the difference between the colors. So, you know.
Oh, wow. All right.
I need to pay
closer attention, obviously. Yeah,
bugs, animals, people, we're all kind of racist in our own way. Speciesist, I guess.
Speciesist, yeah.
But it's hot. Let's get back to the point.
It is hot.
It is hot. Let's circle back to that. I'm sweating as we speak. It is not pretty.
Omnopia? I don't even know what that
means.
Omnopia.
What are you trying to?
I don't know. Like when you make a word.
Phenomena?
Like that's that band that wrote.
A word that sounds like.
Made music. When you say a word that like sounds like a, like when you say vroom, like vroom is a word.
That's
I thought that. Okay. So it's just my pronunciation I need to work on. clearly.
We're not judging. No way.
That's all right.
Happened to Menomina? They just kind of disappeared, didn't they?
They did kind of disappear. They did what, a couple records in the early 2000s.
But I was never a huge fan, but I mean, I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting.
They were all right. I listened to their stuff for a minute.
Yeah. For a minute, yeah, yeah. And it was named after the Menomina thing from the Muppets, right?
The Muppets, yeah, yeah. I think so.
The phenomenon.
Where's Behind the Music when you need it?
I don't know.
Let's bring that shit back.
I love that show.
Oh my goodness.
That
pop-up video? Oh my God.
My favorite thing about Behind the Music is the band was riding high, but... troubling times were on the horizon.
Oh, it's always so dramatic.
That was like the same era as like that AJ Benza guy that did like the celebrity behind the
Be like,
celebrity, it's a bitch, and like everyone's like, ooh, it's a bitch on cable television. God, we were such simpletons in the late 90s. We were just like, ooh. Oh, he said bitch. God, why do I remember that name? That's terrible.
I don't remember that guy's name. I don't know either. I don't know what you're talking about. I am happy that I don't. But I am happy that we've stopped doing like, you know, remember the 80s, you know, like remember the 90s, remember 1985, you know, all those fucking shows where they get like comedians.
I love that format of like showing clips and having like C grade comedians comment. Right. Like that thing lasted like a decade doing that. Way too long. Yeah.
The first one was kind of fun. I think it was Remember the 80s, and I was like, yeah, I remember the 80s. I was alive for some of that.
I just remember Tyson. I actually remember you and I watching one of those, and I think like the Skyler brothers were on it, and you were like, hey, you assholes, like, don't, what are you doing this shit for? Get back to work. Like, I like these guys. They never do anything. And I remember that as a conversation we had like 15 years ago. Like, very angry at the Schuyler brothers.
I was always upset when somebody, like, obviously needed a paycheck. I mean, Patton Oswalt did some of those things.
Oh, you know? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Did, but not as much as those guys. I mean, they were on it every fucking week.
I know. And it irritated me, like, when, like, a quality comedian be like, I know everybody needs money, I get it, but, you know, yeah. It's like, here, you know, I mean, Patton even did a bit about that, how he got fired from one of those shows, you know, I don't remember that.
Wow. But,
really?
Yeah, because he was like, you know, he was telling, he's like, job's easiest job in the world. They send you a videotape with some clips of stuff, you watch it, you write some jokes, you go in there, and they're like, you know, you do your dumb joke, you know, and they had something about Paris Hilton, and he was like, yeah, she's a fucking cunt whore, I hope she dies from AIDS, you know, or something like that. And they're like, ha, Patton, good one. No, really, what are you? He's like, no, oh, she died. And then, like, that was it. Like, you got fired.
That would have been a much better show.
You're right.
Like, yeah, I would have believed in that. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it did irritate me. But yeah.
I remember. It was that big a deal. I remember it all these years.
It's funny. The things that bother me, there's not a lot of things that really bother me, but, you know, I guess I'm pretty vocal about the stuff that does bother me.
We know when you're annoyed by media and its shortcomings. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys more than, well, except for Beth, you guys more than anyone.
I was going to say, B definitely gets some of that too.
Yeah. yeah, but I am glad we don't do those anymore. They still do. I don't know.
They very well may, yeah.
They might. I'm not sure. Who knows?
I think it's everybody's
too. Does anybody watch VH1 or MTV anymore? Is that happening?
I think VH1 just shows movies now.
Really?
As far as I can tell, or maybe TV shows. I think they show like I think that's what I watch when I watch The Facts of Life. I think that's right.
Wow.
No, there's no like, because I remember like VH or Video Hits One, as some may recall.
Right. Was MTV for adults?
Yeah,
theoretically.
It was MTV for adults. It was like it was adult contemporary MTV, basically.
Yeah, and then they started showing Friends like every night, right? And
they got into the reality TV thing huge early on. Like, they were one of the first that had like just a bunch of reality television.
So it's their fault.
It's not solely their fault, but they are relatively accountable for a lot of really bad. Although I will say, plug to a classic. You can find it. The White Rapper Show is the best made for like reality television. Like,
White Rapper Show.
Oh, it was. It's hysterical. It came out in, I think, about 2006.
Oh, wow.
And I think my friend Joe told me about it, and it was a great watch. So,
well, you know, all that MTV, a lot of that MTV and VH1 stuff is on HBO Max. So,
that's right. Yeah, I should dig through that and see what happens to me. Like, there's a lot of like the pop up video and like Behind the Music on YouTube. Like, you know, old terrible VHS rips that people did, you know, years ago, but I'd love to see like, you know, some, you know, ones that don't look like absolute crap, you know.
I would too.
Yeah. Let's show Def Leppard.
Where's that streaming service?
The true fidelity that Def Leppard needs to be viewed in.
Yeah. Their interviews,
but anyway, back to that whole thing. Yeah. That was a great show. I was the whole, you know, and that was like sort of. They basically had like three acts. It was like the rise, the fall, and then the redemption for like every single one of them. And even like, because I'll still remember like the one for like Leif Garrett, and they were like, his redemption was so sad because Leif Garrett fell hard and quick.
Yeah.
And so that guy had a rocky road up. And I just remember it was, you know, they just tried to say like the nicest things possible about them. Like, you know. You know, Leaf was able to buy himself lunch today. You know,
Leaf now has a good enough credit to rent his own apartment.
It's not.
Oh,
Leaf Garrett.
I don't know. We did end up like that.
Yeah, a lot of them did. A lot of them did. But And they, I think they tried to bring it back and do it with some like newer artists, but it didn't quite work.
Yeah, I think I remember that a little bit. I know that The Simpsons did a behind the music episode, which is quite good.
I remember that. Yeah.
They did? And, yeah, I need to see that.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's pretty funny. Yeah, you know, like they're really, I don't know if it's a problem with like, you know, rights or waivers or any of this stuff, but I can't imagine that. It seems to me like there should be like a, because I was just thinking about this. I was like, oh, reality sucks. But then I was also thinking that because of all these cooking shows I watch, I probably watch like a third of what I watch on TV is reality television just because I heard Beth, you know, and I actually kind of like it. I mean, you know, I was all excited about Iron Chef and all that stuff coming back. But it seems to me like that's if somebody could just get the rights to these old reality shows and just make a streaming service. I mean, I would go back and watch Fuck Island season one, you know, in a heartbeat just because
I think I would, too. Yeah.
You know, and like Joe Millionaire.
Fuck Island.
Oh, Joe Millionaire. Joe Millionaire was excellent.
We watched that and our roommates that we were like, OK, we're watching this. And then that was and it was like Love Island, which we call right. Fuck Island.
We actually made a blood pact never to speak of that publicly.
But I know.
No, it's OK. The story is ready to be told. Yeah, it's been
20 years. What's the days?
What is the statute of limitation on embarrassment? Today it's 20 years, so good. Yeah, great show. Great show.
Yeah. I just remember thinking, like, I was like, I don't think this is going to last. And, you know, Bachelor's on, you know, season 56 or whatever. I think I Love Lucy was on opening for The Bachelor. I can't even remember. It's been on so long.
Well, how many seasons of Survivor has there been? Jonas's aunt loves it. And I'm like I mean, they got to be in the 30s or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think it's in the 30s because it's definitely in the upper 20s because it was kind of a thing when I moved to Florida, if I remember.
Yeah, well, I think it premiered in like 97 or 98. And then that was before, though, they started like doing like two seasons a year or whatever. So, you know, so there's a lot of Survivor if people want. I'm guessing people are nostalgic to go back and watch old Survivor episodes. I don't know.
I don't either.
I would go watch Joe Millionaire again, but that was its own kind of special treat. Like,
yeah, it was. Know, yeah,
like, I mean, I never watched Joe Millionaire, not one episode. I just wanted to say that
it was like it was a reverse of like everything that was going on at the time, because everything was like, oh, these guys are trying to get in these girls, and they're scheming and blah blah blah, and they flipped it on and they're like, oh, for the first time ever, these girls are scheming on getting this millionaire dude, and you know, I don't know if you remember the twist, but he made like $36,000 a year. You know, working for his dad or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, yeah. You know, I can't remember how it ended. I don't remember. I assume somebody won. They were a little shocked, but they couldn't say that they were going to break up with him because they were on TV. You know,
but I think that speaks volumes. I think about the art with this is that it doesn't matter who won because it was just the experience of just watching, because it's like set up to like just, you know. It's quite a treat. I think we watched Love Cruise after that too. Yes, you remember that? Yes, that was another follow up because Fox did kind of Fox's thing, right? Like Fox was like, "Yeah, I'm going to turn it up to 11," and like it did that, you know, with both of them. So
yeah, the Love Cruise, and then Love Cruise became like Love Island or something like that, and it was weird because like Love Island had like all these people that had been on other like reality shows. Dawson, did you ever watch a show called Eliminate?
I remember it, but I never watched it. No.
Okay. They used to film episodes of that in Orlando, and I was a bit obsessed with it because it was ridiculous. Because what they would do is they would take a guy and three girls or four girls and or one girl and four guys, and they would go do an activity in the morning, the afternoon, the evening, and then they would pick one. Whoever was the single would pick one at the end. You could just tell that they were getting drunker and drunker as the episode
Amazing.
Went along.
Amazing.
So
why did I never watch that?
They did a pretty good job of editing out all the drinking, but you could just tell.
Yeah.
And they filmed a lot of them. They filmed many episodes in Orlando. So one night, and in fact, a girl we knew was on an episode.
Oh, Oh, no shit.
Yeah, that's right. I knew I was trying to remember. Yeah, but I thought
I can't remember her name. But she's the one that like married that soccer player, so he'd get his green card. I can't remember what her name.
Oh
was.
Yeah,
Chris, our friend Chris was in love with her. He was just fascinated.
Oh yeah, I do know her name. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so like anyway, so for a while in the 90s, like WB or UPN or whatever it was, they tried, instead of having like, you know, like, I don't know, like the Peacock or like some kind of symbol of a, they would get a local celebrity to be like the face of Fox or not Fox, but like Orlando UPN station. And so the guy that was the face, like he would do all these little interstitial things, you know, in between like the shows and be like, coming up next on blah, blah, blah. And you're supposed to get to know, you know, it was like, anyway, he was on Eliminate and then he went all the way to the end and he picked Chris's friend. I guess she was our friend too, but even though I can't remember her name. And then when he picked her and she was clearly not interested in him at all, he goes, I want to go on a date with you and, or, you know, another date with you. And she's like, yeah, I don't want to do that.
Amazing.
Just left. And it was like, and then it was just like, yeah. So anyway, I was down, downtown where we always were Friday night or Saturday night. And I saw this woman carrying around a suitcase and she had like three friends and she was in a panic and it was all, she was like, looked like she'd been crying and all this stuff. And I was like, I don't know. I don't remember exactly how it happened, but I struck up a conversation with her and she's like, yeah, I was just on an episode of Limited. I just got cut. And I was like,
yes.
I was like, hold on a second. And she's like, I got to go. You know, and I was like, well, can I walk with you? I just have some questions. She's like, yeah, that's fine. So, and I was like, so I was trying to get her to like, I was trying to get her to come on the radio show. And so we could interview.
Oh, that's great. Show. That's really great.
And I should have known, you know, like, I'm sure she had to sign away her life and like waivers and non-disclosures and all that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah.
But she told me some shit. It was great. Like, she was like, oh yeah, they just kept pouring us booze. And she's like, you know, and the girls were bitchy. And I was there, and she was pissed. And like, her friends were like, you don't deserve this. You know, I mean, like it was weird. Like, but I loved every second of it. And I was just some weirdo, you know, that was just like, I was like, I don't even know how I figured it out. I think it was, she was walking around in a very nice dress with a suitcase at the bar. And I was like, something's up here. There's a story. Something's going on.
Yeah. I got to figure this out. Yeah.
So anyway.
That is so funny.
I would like to find some episodes of those because they were good. You know, like any of those Blind Date or anything like that. You know,
yeah, I had forgotten all about them. Like, yeah, we did watch a hell of a lot because it was right. It was like, you know, it was syndicated. So there.
Yeah,
like,
it was like every night. It was like right before The Simpsons or something.
Right. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh man, Eliminate. Wow. I
totally miss that. And I was very much into like Real World and Road Rules and all that bullshit on MTV. So that would have been right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. I think I made it to like the Seattle season of Real World before I kind of felt like probably like the fourth or fifth one. Cause it was pretty good. I mean, it was on like, I was in middle school when the first one came out. I think it was little. It was fascinating. I was like, this is how young adults are going to live. And
right. I couldn't wait, honestly, as a kid to like have roommates and like live in a big city and like do stupid shit.
Right.
That's,
I know.
Just what I thought my life would be like.
You're gonna sweet ass house. Yeah.
What's, you know, I missed all that cause we didn't have MTV and I didn't really, and then I just never watched it when I moved to Hayes for college. But it seems like that was, I mean, that had to be like on the forefront, right? Like on.
Oh
right?
Yeah, I think.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely, and it was. I mean, it was good. I mean, I think it was legitimately pretty. Not, you know, I haven't watched it in a few, you know, a long time, but it was. I remember, you know, I think it was not quite as scripted, and I think that it was a lot more legitimate. And I think
the first couple of seasons.
Yeah,
definitely.
And then I think you kind of watch it sort of devolve into what we now know as reality television. So I think it reinvented reality TV.
In yeah, you're going to make a bubble sense. Chart. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It really did. It really kind of just, because like, because, you know, by season three, they're like, God, if these people weren't like young adults and like, you know, like confrontational by design, real life might be kind of boring. And so we figured it out pretty quick.
A proud black woman living with a southern racist? What could go wrong?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Absolutely everything. I mean, now that, what was it? Netflix put out, it was a reality show, and it was very much based on Real World, but it was just with like hot people living in Austin. That is something I would actually plug people to find out. I'm going to get the producer to find the name of it.
People living in Austin.
Yeah, just like a bunch of like hot younger people living in Austin. And it is like so scripted. It is so stupid. They're all like trying, like they switched it up so that like all of these kids are trying to get jobs in Austin, but really they're just getting drunk every night and hooking up with each other. Oh, and so by the end of this season, nobody has a job except for like this cute little gay guy. Couldn't score a date. I loved it. I was like, this, I want more of this. This will work. Okay. Yeah, it's great. The producers are looking it up right now. Please hold.
This makes me miss The Soup, because, you know, like, I didn't have to watch reality TV. I could just watch The Soup for 22 minutes.
That was actually, yes.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah. Like, when was that on? Was that on the I mean, I watched that pretty religiously.
It was once a week. It was weekly on E!
Yeah,
they're almost all of them from the McHale years are on Plex. Because I went and did a deep dive a couple months ago and just watched it, and I was like,
exciting,
you know,
wow!
I was like, you know, like it was like it's maybe it'll seem dated. It doesn't seem dated because you know it's like it's just ridiculous nonsense. Well,
it'll be like a history lesson too. It'll be like going back into not so distant history and reliving it through the eyes of in the most entertaining. This is what we should be showing our children, to be frankly.
that's right. I can see that would be a thing that I think, you know, if somehow that got syndicated somehow, I think it would find a new audience and younger people being like, what is this?
Right. You know? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The show I was referring to is called 20 somethings on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. And it's hilarious. The tagline is really funny. It's like, in this coming of age reality series set in Austin, Texas, 20 somethings navigate love and friendship and start a new adventure, life.
Wow.
Oh, it is so dumb.
So they didn't some reality TV like series for a while, like, and I don't know if it was like Road Rules or one of those, but like when they would give them a job or they'd like start a company that everyone would work at together.
Yeah, I think it was Real World.
I think later on that's what they had started doing, and it was like they ran a company together, and it was
Which is, I mean, wow, that's a whole other level.
It was just a whole other level of bad. Thanks, MTV.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's on MTV. Like, I know they still do like some original programming, but
I think they show Ridiculousness like half the day, and then which is like, it's like Tosh 2.0 without the charm, even though I hate that show. Like, I don't know.
There's like some stuff, though, that I'm so generationally removed from that I see the commercial. I don't know what it is. It's like people laughing, but I don't know why. It's just very confusing. So I know. I don't. This 120 minutes, though. 120 minutes was great.
What was that reality show with all of the washed up celebrities were living together? Do you guys remember that?
Well, Big Brother was like that.
Big Brother. I actually have to confess, I did watch Kathy, I think, was watching one of those celebrity Big Brothers. And it is weirdly like addictive. Like, to me it was like, because you just weirdly have to care. It's weird, but I knew. But I'd watch an episode of it and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to care. And I, by like two or three, I did care about all these celebrities that were living together because they didn't have anything else to do that day. But it's weird. I mean, like, that's the effect on it. Like, if you can just like get one or two episodes in people, like, they've got you. It's a brilliant way to make cheap, entertaining television.
Cheap entertainment. Oh, I found out the name of that show. It was called The Surreal Life.
Oh,
in like the early 2000s. You guys remember that?
Yes.
I remember
they lived in a mansion together, and like for just a couple of weeks, it was stupid.
Wasn't that the? I thought the Surreal Life was the one with the two blonde Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie.
Oh well, no, it's called The Simple Life, I think.
The Simple Life, yeah. The Simple.
My apologies.
Yeah, no. I fucking hate myself.
That show would make you dumber by the minute. I watched a couple of them and I was like, what? I can't.
There was a show on we missed the Jersey Shore thing too. I think I did anyway.
I did too. I had some friends that were into it, but yeah.
But there was a show for a while, and I only know about it because of the soup, called Tool Academy. And it was about a bunch of dudes that were fucking terrible, and their girlfriends tricked them into being on this television show to like make them not suck so hard. And they're like, "Oh, I can't believe she did this." And then they'd be like, the women would be like, "I'm gonna leave you if you keep punching, you know, my uncle in the dick every time we go to a family reunion." Or and it's like, and they're like, "Oh, I'm gonna try really hard." And I actually wouldn't mind tracking some of those down. That was a strange show.
Oh, that sounds great. Yeah. Into it. I feel like we could start a streaming platform with all bullshit on it.
Feels like
there's a need.
You could buy these shows for pennies on the dollar is what
we need to figure out how you get in touch with those companies those reselling. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's in the, maybe I'm just guessing here. But like maybe it's in the clause, like people will be like, okay, I'll be in a stupid fucking reality show, but you can't rerun it past the first year because I can't live the rest of my life being Snooki from whatever, I can't be the woman.
There might be some weird exceptions like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
a lot of them are like just signing their rights away. Like, this is my ticket to Hollywood. Right. Like, let's go.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm sure that's true. I mean, that's how the Octomon got started and all that stuff.
We could do that. Yeah, we could do the whole reality TV, but then we could do like a Where Are They Now for like.
Yeah, because I don't mean to single out Kathy, but I feel like Kathy is the audience for the Where Are They Now, people that used to be on reality TV shows.
Right. The great thing is we don't even have to you have to do no legwork because we just have to pay like $35 cameo fee for all of them. And like,
that's right.
We're good. Like it's golden. And I say we don't even worry about licensing and all that legal stuff right now. We just kind of go for it, you know?
Yes,
that's the new way, Tyson. The old way was to get your licensing and all. Now we're just going to put it out there.
This is how we get sued. I know we keep talking about it, but I think this is a really good way of doing it.
Of getting sued.
To quote John Eastman and Donald Trump, let the courts figure it out.
Do you got something else on the...
It's certainly hot outside, just to bring that back.
It's certainly
hot. Oh, it is so hot, Tyson. Jesus. Burn it up.
Well, you want to talk about that fucking...
I thought we today? Might talk... Yeah, well, I thought
yeah,
we just
I would like you to, because I missed it. I was in a bunch of meetings, but you guys...
It's all at Tyson Stark, because I missed about the first 20-odd minutes of it, so I assume you may have caught that.
The first... guy was the Secretary of State for air. Okay, so what we're talking about is January 6th hearing that occurred today, which is the 21st of June. Speaking of which,
first
we started
day of summer, right?
Yeah, yeah. We started at 4 o'clock.
So hot,
Tyson Standard Time.
It's also very hot outside.
Yeah, so that's why we're talking about how hot it is, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm literally in my office in the hottest part of the house, and I've got two fans on, and I'm still like, this sucks. But anyway. So that was on today. And so it started off with this guy, the elector from Arizona, and basically the whole point of today was that, Trump and Giuliani and Eastman, all these guys were trying to basically bully a bunch of people into, finding votes or putting up, alternative electors and doing all that junk. And right. That was, and then, how, and then it gets in a little bit about how, anyway, we'll get to that. So,
so basically, they had two reps from they had representatives from two states, right? Georgia, yeah, and what was the other one?
Arizona.
Arizona, and
guy from Arizona, like very stoic, kind of classic. He did a weird flex though that I thought was weird, and I'm just going to mention this because I thought it was weird. Because I think it's weird when people say this, because I heard the guy say Pence said this too, which is that this guy said, well, I couldn't go against the oath of defending the Constitution, which is true. That's the oath they take when they do public service.
Right.
Whether it's the state constitution or the United States Constitution, federal constitution, right, whatever you want to call it. And he said, I just thought this was a weird flex. I hope I'm using that term right. Because I am 47 years old.
Yeah, I mean, you know the hot goss, so sure. Yeah, why not?
So he said, I couldn't go against the Constitution because I believe the Constitution of the United States was divinely inspired. So it's against my faith as a Christian. He didn't say this all out, but this is what he's
extrapolating. Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
Faith as a Christian to go against something that is divinely inspired. Which,
oh my God,
I just it's a weird thing. And he teared up a little bit, and I mean, he was very likable, and
this later. Oh my
was,
God,
and he was very much like somebody referred to him when I was watching it as a you know, like a Jimmy Stewart type. And I could totally see that, you know. So he was like, you know, he was really interesting. And then the Georgia guys. I actually missed some of the Georgia guys because I was doing research or something.
That's the
other two dudes.
Whatever his name is. The other two dudes.
I wrote down the ladies' names because I wanted to mention them by name, but we'll get to that in a second. Anyway, so then they went on to the Georgia thing and they just played video, or like, I guess Trump called this guy in Georgia, Kemp, you know, he's pretty
famous. Played the audio, right?
Yeah, like
which I feel like we've all heard.
Yeah, but it's a 70-minute call. I was like,
that's what I didn't realize.
I didn't realize that either.
And it is like, it is pure. I mean, it's like, I would love to hear the whole thing because it, like, literally, I would listen to it because it is
on,
just.
It's on there. It's actually on January 6th's website. They have the whole call on there.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But it's, I'm kind of curious. Yeah, it's a good thing to fall asleep to, I think.
Well, you can see. Remember how mad he was? He was like, "Well, I can send you a link," and he's like, "I don't need a link. I got a better link." And blah blah blah. And Trump is losing his mind on this phone call.
But I think what today really kind of underscored, like, obviously, I think we've known about this call for a long time, but like, they really put it in the context of the timeline of this all happening, and like, this was all settled business. I mean, like, the electors had been certified. Like, this was like way late. This is after, like, their various offices have said, like, you know, they'd conducted the investigations. There was the other really interesting call was when Trump personally called the investigator that Georgia put to investigate to see if there was fraud. And he called her up and just said, like, "Hey, you know, you could do a good thing here. You could do," I mean, like, literally.
What?
I was not aware of that call, but that call.
I didn't know about that one either. Because he's like, this could be a really big thing for you if you just do this.
Yeah. And I just love listening to him talk because he's such a fucking moron. Like, he just can't bring together a coherent sentence. Like, if you listen to, what was he? He was using some phraseology about, like, I don't remember what it was, Tyson, about, like, you know, not that you'll be a legend, but something to that. You'll be appreciated. And it was just like so weird. So that was really interesting. I thought that there was actually a sort of like, then also like sort of calling out the Rathsen something. Is that what it was?
That was the guy that like had an impassioned. So they showed that clip at the very beginning. I don't know if they showed it anymore, but he was the guy that stood outside of the Georgia steps and was like, "This has to stop. President Trump, stop spreading lies. People are going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get killed."
Yeah.
Somebody did get killed, by the way. But a couple people. But anyway, he was there. And then they, like, dismissed them. And I was like, oh, shit, is it over? And then they brought this woman, Shea Moss, and her mother, Lady Ruby. And it was, that was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Shit. Really?
Yeah. Well, it's worth watching. I mean, basically what happened was he tweeted, President Trump and Rudy Giuliani tweeted that these two women were lying, or they miscounted votes on purpose. They were throwing the election.
I forgot about this.
Right. So anyway, they basically ruined their lives.
Because the public found out who they were by name, and obviously found addresses and phone numbers, and
they had to leave their home. She lost her job. Actually, everybody that she worked for like what, H&R Block or something, that like they all volunteered as a company to do the help in the ballot casting.
I thought she was a like full time, but
full time?
Okay. I thought she worked for the state, but I could be mistaken.
No, you're probably right, because she said everybody, nobody's there anymore.
She'd worked for the whatever for more than 10 years, and they asked, I think one of the shift's questions to her was, of the people pictured in the videotape, how many people still work for the polling division? And she said, none.
So, she found out at work, like she got called in by her boss and was like, she's like, what happened and what's going on? And she's like, you need to see this. So basically, it was awful. Like her mother was working there with her. They both got sort of identified. People came by their house. People kept, just little things and big things. Like little things, like they would send a pizza to her house every 30 minutes.
The FBI talked the mother into leaving, and she had to leave her home for 2 months up to and surrounding January 6th. The FBI knew there was aware of enough of a risk that she had to leave her home for 2 months.
Some people broke into their mother's house, the grandmother of the main witness, and the grandmother opened the door and she came in, and these people came in and they were like gonna citizens arrest these two ladies, and they weren't there.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was bad. Matt's text when he was like, I remember, I can't remember exactly how you put it, but it was like, I found a new way to hate President Trump again or something like that. And that's basically how I felt. I mean, it was just,
And I think that, Tyson, that was the kicker to me. I mean, Giuliani pointed her out in a meeting and said these two, but Donald Trump mentioned those two women 17 times in varying disparaging levels. But I think one of them was, he used some term about the one woman that like, she's like, she's a known con woman. She's a known, she's scum. I mean, you may remember his exact words better than I do, but it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was like, basically they had a video, and her mother's handing her like a cookie. And they were like, it could be a thumb drive, it could be cocaine, we don't know what it is. And I'm
kidding me?
Yeah.
So it's really bad. She's like, she's on the verge of tears the whole time. She's obviously very nervous. I don't know. The mom's closing testimony was great, because she was just like, you don't know what it feels like to be singled out by the president of the United States.
Man.
A bad person.
It was pretty like, holy shit. Like, look at the, like, if the loss of democracy wasn't enough, it's also like hurt. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, just his stupid, like, just his lie. Like, there's not even a second thought about, stuff like
that. Yeah.
So it was hard. I mean, it was
tough. It was like, it was just a different kind of day for it. It was really just kind of but I think it's going to be impactful. And I think it's going to be all over the place. Yeah.
I mean, the second, what was today was the fourth one. So the second and third one, the first one's bad because it had all the violence. And the second and third one were kind of like, Trump's an idiot. Everyone around him knew that he was an idiot. They told everybody that was supporting him to lawyer up, and they wouldn't be any part of this. So there was kind of a lot of, ha ha, he's an idiot, and today was just like, You know, like,
yeah,
and he's also a mean asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
And just more focused on the assholeness of him as opposed to his criminal nature. And I left out a shift kind of, I don't know if it was intentional, it absolutely was, but like shift kind of made that comment about, although we can't judge the, like, the legality of these actions. And then he just like went through a laundry list of like all the shit Trump had done.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the way that they've edited this all together. They've arranged this. I mean, it's the future of hearings because it's compelling. I mean, everybody's been watching Netflix for 2 years at home. So they know how to put together these sort of narrative-driven stories, you know, with videos and interviews and people and, you know, and all that stuff. So it's never been boring.
I don't know if it's by design, but if it is, I think it's smart, is that it's not, like, super slick.
No.
Like, it's not – I kind of – because, you know, I think we talked about, or I'd read about, like, there actually being some, like, producer, like, Hollywood producers and writers involved, which I'm, like – by all means, absolutely do that. It's a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
But it didn't. It doesn't seem like. It doesn't feel that way. And I think that's important. That it feels, you know, just very honest. I think they've done. For the Democratic Party, they've done a hell of a job.
So you should watch. You should at least watch the second half of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because I agree. Because I was kind of with you, Tyson. Like, I thought it might be wrapping up because it was close to 3 o'clock. I think by the time I got to it,
and it's been going a while.
I'm really glad I stuck along with it because as sort of like factually interesting the first half was, the second half was just like, you motherfucker. And we all need to have a moment of that every.
We do. You know, we do. Man.
I don't know. And, you know, it's not like their lives are going to get any better after they do this. I mean, at least.
Of course. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, for one thing, they're going to get a lot of goodwill from, let's say, 50% of the country. And maybe some of the other people are going to feel a little bad about what they did.
Maybe.
I mean, if they were even watching this, which
is a big maybe. Yeah.
But, you know, like, but still, like, I mean, I was just like, where's their GoFundMe? I was like, I'm throwing $20, you know, like.
Absolutely.
I mean. But, you know, these didn't seem like the kind of people who would feel sorry for themselves or, you know, do something like that. So, anyway.
And I think it's – I mean, I would say that the one thing I've personally kind of gotten at is I've gotten a lot cleaner narrative out of this because it really is hard to, like – I mean, we've just been collectively barraged with this shit for 6 years.
So long.
Like, we don't know. We don't know what side's up, you know. we just know he's an asshole. But, like, but I love how they've kind of, you know, created kind of a linear structure to it. And also kind of limited the cast a lot and really sort of just kind of, here are these, like the attorney that is such a, you know, his name's escaping me at the moment, but Tyson, I'm sure, the Trump's attorney who came up with a theoretical idea.
Oh, Eastman.
Eastman. Like, I didn't know much about that dude at all. And like, it was like that dude's idea. so it really did, you know, it put it together quite nicely and it's helped me understand what I already knew.
I think somebody I'm probably making this up, but somebody's I know somebody said I plead the fifth like 170 times during their interview with the counsel. And I mean, like, you know, that's a lot of pleading the fifth. One thing I do like, I mean, it might even be Eastman, was like, I mean, he's been fighting to keep everything out of there, you know, because he has to be put on the.
Well, didn't he try to get a presidential pardon?
Yep.
Yeah.
Still got that pardon list you're putting together there, Rudy. I need to be on there. I mean, that's literally what he said.
Yeah. But to be fair, that's probably just like kind of SOP with Donald Trump. It's really just like you just assume. I've talked to this guy this year. I'm going to need some shit cleaned up.
I don't know. The other thing I like about it, just as a point, is that they hand they basically, like, you know, they both, you know, Cheney and you know, the guy who can't say Donald, he says Donald.
The chairman?
Yeah, the chairman. Donald Trump. Which I feel like he's doing it on purpose to piss off.
I think
Donald Trump
might be doing it on purpose a little bit.
But
I hope he is.
Who knows? Like that they hand off the Cheney and then the chairman I can't remember.
Yeah, they like high five each other. It's like then, tag team action and in the WWE.
And they just give it to like somebody else to do the questioning for the rest of the thing, right?
Yep.
Which is nice, you know, because you know, like one of the things that sucks about hearings in Congress is that, you know, there's 15 different people asking questions over the period of however.
Right.
And that's really distracting, you know?
Yes.
I know that's how democracy works, but democracy is distracting kind of a little bit. So
it is.
So anyway,
it's nice to get a clear picture.
I don't have any headlines or any plugs this week, except that second half, that second testimony. It's really pretty much it.
We shouldn't even play the headline thing because we've already talked about the main one.
I think the people like it though.
Okay, let's go. Here we go.
I like the headline.
Headline time. Headline of the week. More headlines.
More headlines of the week. We like to leap forward. We're topical, you know.
Yeah.
We're pretty topical. Other than that stuff, does anybody have?
Other than that,
I'm like sad now. I'm having a problem.
I don't really have anything. Those women. I mean, I am too. That was really terrible. But you know, I don't really have any headlines. I guess they caught the world's largest saltwater or freshwater fish yesterday.
Stingray?
Was it a stingray?
It's a freshwater stingray, which I knew existed because I have actually watched Lake Monsters or some shit like that that's on Animal Planet. I don't understand this. I was looking for the headline.
I need to get into that. Is that on Discovery Plus, by the way, Tyson? That's my newest streaming platform purchase.
I'm going to say that it is. I can't remember. It was on Animal Planet, so I assume it's on Discovery Plus.
I think it might be. I got to get into
they're
that.
They're real bad. I mean, even the guys from Riff Trax, Mystery Science Theater guys, actually did a couple of those episodes for Animal Planet. They actually riffed a couple of them, which is great. It's really good. They also did like When Animals Attack. I don't know. Somebody up at the high echelons of Animal Planet, the station, big fans of Mystery Science Theater, so they threw them some cash. But so anyway, they got this big ass fish. It's 661 pounds on the Mekong River. On this guy caught it. What I assume was a net. Somehow he got it in the boat. And then had I don't think you can eat these things, or if you do, it'd be like eating, because they live on the bottom of, you know, like a fucking dirt river. So it'd be like eating a bullhead, essentially. So
ultimate catfish, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that was my only other thing. I'm always excited when there's something new and large has been discovered. So
that's true. Colossal anything.
Colossal anything.
Especially squid.
Yeah, I was going to say, has there been any new squid? I mean, like, the world had, like, it was, like, a big deal, like, 5 or 10 years ago when they found that thing, but...
Well, yeah, they found the giant squid, you know, just kind of hanging out by, you know, the boat, and it just kind of, like, looked at everybody with its giant, horrifying eyeball, and, like... And you remember that? I
was terrifying.
Well, dude, I knew it. Like, it was one of those things like, oh my God, Tyson's going to have such a good day today.
His dream's coming true right now.
It is. It was bittersweet because I always hoped that I would retire and hunt the giant squid and be the first one. But because I always said this in Florida, and I sometimes said it to myself later in life, all right, it's gonna have to be me because nobody else is gonna do this, and you're gonna catch a giant squid. And really the problem with that is you can't really catch it because they're giant, they're kind of flimsy, so like you're gonna have to have a whole apparatus to get them, and I mean it would probably die immediately you know if you tried to put it in a cage or something,
right?
But they still you know, I don't think they've seen a live colossal squid yet, so that's, I guess there's that. So but you know,
still,
those,
yeah, you can still do that.
There you go.
But you know, those are only found around like Antarctica, and that's pretty cold.
Probably not also, a submarine. You have to be in a submarine, don't you?
Well, here's the other thing about those colossal squids. I don't know if you've ever looked at their, you know, like, you know, the squids have big suckers, you know, at the end of their two long tentacles.
Yeah.
These guys have like basically what accounts to about 3.5-inch claws on all their legs.
Ooh.
And they'd run up and down the outside. You would have a
That's pretty cool, actually.
It is. It's really cool.
That is pretty cool.
Now that I know they're deadly, that's wow.
Yeah, so I mean, these things are like, you know, when they attack, it's like they just rip, they rip it apart, you know, and then like, you know,
oh my God,
eat it, I guess. Anyway,
anyway.
Well, so you know,
great dreams tonight. Thanks,
as
guys.
As I get older, I am less concerned about capturing one live. It's okay.
I say just, you know, go with golf or maybe fishing.
Yeah.
In a lake in Kansas.
And if you need danger, you can like introduce like varying levels of danger to those rather mundane activities.
You could play
like,
golf in a lightning storm.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, perfect. Right. Yep.
Extreme. Yeah. Extreme.
Fish in a tornado. Whatever.
There's no reason to just. Yeah.
All right. All right. Okay. All right. All right. I'll live dangerously. I'll keep it up.
I'll keep it up.
Thank God.
Thanks, Dyson.
Smith, do you have any headlines?
I do have a few, actually. Over the weekend, the Texas GOP voted on their new platform, in which part it says that Biden didn't really win. But the better part is it's also calling for a referendum on secession.
Which would result in a war.
Yes.
Which would probably, well, I don't know.
No, like, that's like the one thing that they proved out of like the out of what happened with the Civil War. If you secede, now it is permanent law. If you secede from the United States, there will be a war.
Oh, shit. Really? So we just can't let them go?
No, it would be great if we could. I mean, first, you think they're having problems with energy consumption right now? Wait till they don't have the United States government to help them with that.
Good point.
I would love for them to secede and then just fucking become a third world country in like 2 weeks.
But even so, we would have to go to war with them.
We would, which sucks.
Yeah,
I know
that does suck.
And I have a lot of friends in Austin still, so
they'll have time. There'll be plenty of warning. Plenty of heads up if it gets to that. If it actually gets to civil war, with Texas. Oh my God. Yeah, like the whole Alamo thing is going to come back. Oh man, that's going to be.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad. Wow. Come on, Beto.
I'm fourth generation Texan. Yep.
Get on television and say some curse words. Beto, we need you. Need you back in there, buddy. Is he running?
Yeah, he's running.
Yeah, he's running for governor.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. Yeah, he might actually have a chance. Like, I don't know why I haven't looked at any polls or anything.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
If you put McConaughey on the ticket, he's definitely going to win.
Oh, I never thought about that. Yeah, like have McConaughey be his number like two.
What do they call the governor? Lieutenant governor.
Lieutenant governor. Yeah.
Yeah.
We should know that, man. That's,
I know.
Oh, that's rusty. Ooh.
Sorry.
It's just that American just keeps engulfing me, and I forget
these
things. But anyway.
They also said, like, you know, homosexuality is.
Yeah,
they did. It's kind of amazing. I mean, it's really kind of amazing that it's. I mean, it's crazy extreme, and it's
batshit crazy.
It's batshit crazy, and
I think they did want to teach no sex ed in high school or junior high. I saw that, and then
I didn't know that part.
No sex ed at all, and they can only teach. And they only teach how great the American and Texas people have been.
I'm feeling a little faint.
Well, this is beginning to make a little more sense though, because this is like a GOP like vision board.
It is.
So they're just writing down all the shit their true heart desires, and they're like, oh God, oppressing homosexuals. It's there, and that really bad. Anyway, state of Texas. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. I don't know. That's going to be crazy though. That shit's on the ballot in Texas. Like they'll do that to get out the vote too. So wow.
Oh yeah.
Watch it happen, folks. Next, this one I don't even know how I ran into the article. Oh, thank you IBM for running a full page ad over my. How to take the worry out of your data privacy. Yeah, no irony in that at all. Okay, this one, legendary producer Steve Albini wins World Series of Poker tournament again.
What?
I did not know this.
I have a fun fact to share.
Go ahead, because I did not know this. But
I have been at one of Steve Albini's poker.
No way, really? Games.
Yes, when my friend Jackie, her boyfriend at the time, Patrick, is very good friends with Steve, and so we went to what was it, All Tomorrow's Parties festival in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and Steve Albini had literally rented out an entire floor. And we were invited in to just hang out and be like pros in the poker. Yeah, just pretty cool.
That is really neat.
He's a pretty badass dude. Actually, he would get along with both of you very well. He's like very much our speed.
Wow,
that would be human being. Yeah, that's cool. I'm happy for him. He's obsessed with it.
Well, now I'm working on my vision board. Yeah, that's one of Yeah, he's, for those who don't know, he's I think, well known as a producer. He did.
Now he's known as a producer, but yeah.
But back in the day, he was associated with the band Big Black, which I was a big fan of. And
Silkworm,
that's right. And Shellac.
Shellac, yeah.
Great band. It's funny, I learned this because he recently just, and like, I was not impacted by like the, I don't know who left Spotify like 6 months ago or whatever. Like there was they called it a big sort of, exodus, and it wasn't. It was like Joni Mitchell and a couple of her hippie friends. And he pulled his stuff from
he did,
from
Spotify, yeah.
And I guess I listened to a lot of it, and it was gone one day, and I was like, oh, that's sad. Now I know he's making all his bones at the poker table, so he doesn't need to. So yeah, he can't be mad. I mean, dude did a lot, and so anyway, apparently he's a really good at poker, which I did not know.
Yeah, he's obsessed with it, and all of his little cronies are too.
That's cool. Here's my little headlines folders here. Oh, yes. One of my favorites from this week. Elon Musk's child tells court she no longer wants to be related to her dad.
Yeah.
So on the day before Father's Day, which I think is choice.
He
basically had a California court. She petitioned to have her name legally changed and basically wants nothing to do with him whatsoever.
How old is she, Smith?
18. I think she just turned 18, and I did not know this, but he has 7 kids.
Yeah.
I
didn't know that either. I watched a video about his wife from a TED Talk today. I was like,
whoa.
I didn't know. Yeah,
so anyway, I don't know that there's much more to the story than that, but that's not a great Father's Day.
It's not a good look.
Have that plastered. That's when it broke too. I appreciate the hell out of that. It's just like, God, wow. So anyway, and then one quick last one, I think. Oh yes, and we get to officially say goodbye to Internet Explorer this last week. 27 years.
Wow.
IE was a very good browser for a very long time. It gets a lot of shit now, but it was kind of the go-to, kind of 2000 until probably about 2007, 2008. But it also really sucked in later years, and so. Excuse me, and it was a pain in the ass for web developers, and IE6 was particularly painful, I remember, but yeah, so they've retired it, now they've gone through, there's Edge, and now there's New Edge that's really just Chrome, and so it's all very confusing.
Just stick with Chrome I hate Safari, but whatever.
I like find myself using Safari just because I think it's now goddamn my Apple device just did something because I said something.
I heard her.
I said something Apple-y, and Siri's like, "Ooh, you must be talking about me." God, stop, creep.
You have it, Smith.
Creeper, stop it. No, go away.
My,
that was way nicer than you've been in the past. So good for you.
Well, I like I said, I'm learning to kind of think about
fear AI. I know.
I'm learning to fear AI. I have a healthy fear of AI. Yeah, it's not paranoia quite yet, but it's a healthy fear of AI. And that's why. I do love the Alexa. I did finally get that. Didn't someone mention that they had something weird happen to like a couple people they knew or Alexa?
Yeah, where she just farted. Yep, constantly.
Finally had that happen the other day. So that it had this weirdly laughter. Because I have like two use cases for my Alexa. A, it's my alarm clock. B, it's what I listen to the news in the shower. That's it. Still great. But it'll also make like weird app suggestions, like at the end of the news. And one day it was like, if you'd like to hear animal sounds, you know, say blah, blah, blah. I'm taking a shower and I'm like, well, all right, fine. This is fun. And I'm like, you know, Alexa, make a cow sound. And it's like, moo. And I'm like, Alexa, make a dog sound. It barked. And then I said, Alexa, make a human sound. Oh, see, I just did it. See, I'm not lying. I just did it.
Okay.
And then I finally said, Alexa, we'll see if she does it. Well, come on, for the audience. Come on. Alexa, make a human sound. Yeah, of course, nothing. So I did the first time. Exactly what she did. She farted, and then she apologized for it. I thought that was like a weird quirk that I'd heard about, like sort of urban legend. But no, it actually happened to me too. So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're a part of the club. I'm so
it's exciting. So it'll happen to all of you one day, believe me, and you'll be like, "Ooh!" You'll have a healthy fear of AI.
Fear, respect, whatever. It's a fine line.
Yeah, that's all the headlines I had. That was all the news that got into my brain this week.
Well done. That's pretty good.
Very nice.
I just have one, and I'll run through it real quick. This is something that my uncle sent my mother. So shout out to Jerry Hintz for this. But it's on Huffington Post. Headstone with hidden profanity annoys the F out of cemetery. Apparently, there's this family, the Owens family of Polk County, Iowa, and it's pretty cute. Like, it's very, I don't know, I think it's sweet what they did. But basically, like, with their father's headstone, in his obituary, for that matter, like, they, you know, livened it up a little bit. Like, it's not so, like, you know how obituaries and like headstones is just like same old. So they made it more personalized, both. But my favorite part of the headstone, you know, the front of it says something very cute on the front that says like, if you don't listen, you'll have to feel, you know, like a great quote or whatever. But then on the other side, it says fuck off, like totally spelled out. Love it. But the people, who was it? Like,
and it's actually
other
like
families. Yeah, it's like
a word. It's like there's like it's like the first letter of each word, right?
It's the first letter of each word. Yes,
it's like a poem.
It's a poem, but it clearly spells out "fuck off."
Yes.
And so people in the cemetery were fucking pissed. Like the cemetery's board of trustees told the Owens family and the maker of the headstone, they were like, "We're getting a lot of calls, blah blah blah." Like people are really pissed off, and you got to replace it. And so it. It just became a big kerfuffle. And I love that a family actually did that. So good on you.
And I think one of the funniest parts of that story, I saw it too. And one of the funniest parts was like just reading some of the comments from the outraged citizens that
same.
It was just like, what?
This community will not stop until this headstone is removed. Yes. Like, come on. Yes.
I mean, wasn't that like, that was his catchphrase in life, right? It was like, he was like, fuck off. You know, like that was his thing that he said all the
that
time.
That was his thing. And it was like a term of endearment. Right. Yeah. And so,
yeah. And now he's proven everyone correct. He's proven that that attitude was, in fact, the right one to have. So
exactly. So, RIP.
Yeah, sir. That was good. That was a good one. That was
I love that. Yeah. That's it. That is all.
That is all.
I didn't dive into the newsies that much last week.
No.
For various reasons. But yeah. Should we plug it up?
Let's do some plugs.
You, the ice cream manufacturer. You, the frozen food distributor. And you, the food retailer. Stand today in the midst of a selling revolution. For today, you're in a merchandising era of self-service, where display and accessibility are the key to successful merchandising. Yes, today's problem is merchandising. To sell in high volume for high profits, frozen products are impulse items, and impulse buying is primarily an emotional decision.
I'm going to just, I don't really have any plugs this week, but I will say I keep watching Community. I'm basically like four episodes shy of finishing it. So I thought it was kind of interesting, and you guys probably don't know this, but there's a lot of crossover between The Wire and Better Call Saul, a lot more than you would think, because people from both those shows become regular cast characters. Also, John Oliver's on there for a full season.
So I wondered that, and I don't know his name, but I will call him the bald guy from Better Call Saul. And
yeah, he's on.
Is he a regular?
Yeah, he's a full time. He's a full time regular for season five.
I did not know that. I thought the episode because Tyson a couple weeks ago, I think, sent us an episode that he wanted us to watch, and it was quite good. But I thought like a lot of those people were like just guest stars, so I didn't realize that he was actually part of the full time.
No, it's weird. Like John Oliver was like on the first couple episodes in season one, and then he came back full time in season five. And then one of the guys from The Wire, one of the cops, he's on there for about six or seven episodes.
Interesting.
Also, Mitch Hurwitz, the guy who created
Arrested Development.
Yeah, he's on a couple episodes. He plays this character named Coogler. And I've never seen him act in anything, but it's the fucking greatest. He's so funny.
That's cool.
And then Vince Gillian was on an episode. Created.
What?
Yeah, he's an underground dealing textbooks or college textbooks dealer. This is weird thing. Anyway, but yeah. Anyway, I didn't realize how much crossover those two shows had with season five and season six. It's kind of a weird thing. Anyway, that was it. I don't know. Watch it. It's good.
All right, yeah. Bye. I'm done. Okay, well, see you, Tice.
Jeez. I'm going to dive. That's kind of next up on my list is to go through those because I did enjoy that episode. He was like, I really enjoyed this show, and it's been a long time. I only have one as well. It's something I accidentally ran into on Amazon Prime the other day, and it's called The Dawns of Disco. The tagline is a lip-syncing scandal puts an American singer against an Italian male model over the legacy of 1980s Ital disco star Den Harrow. So basically, there was kind of this subgenre of electronic pop music that I would care about. I'm not sure what I'm telling the rest of you. called Ital disco. And it was very just sort of pop, like kind of what I would consider kind of what I call today, like roller skate pop. Like
roller disco. Sort of
like, right. And it was very big in Italy. And so this guy, Den Harrow, had this single in like 85 or 86 that just made him huge. And he was like this model. And like, so anyways, the problem was, is he didn't actually sing on his record. And this other guy named Tom Hooker did. And so apparently Tom Hooker was this guy that was a writer and producer who did a number of kind of hits back in the day. And so somebody approached them with financing for this project where they were going to have this Den Harrow guy be the face and then have Tom Hooker actually write and sing the song and do everything. And so
tale as old as time.
Yeah. So, it's, 50, I guess. So here's the great thing about it. So it sounds obviously it's going to remind a lot of people of the whole Milli Vanilli saga. But here's the crazy thing about it is they interview and they have kind of equal interview time with both guys. And like the Den Harrow guy, who was like the model guy, like the face, he still tours and performs 35 years later.
Wow.
He's still using the track, the pre-recorded tracks from 35 years ago.
No way.
So he's been touring on these pre-recorded tracks. With the exception of one song, if you actually watch this, there is one song which he sings live because he proves that he can do it for himself. it's really interesting. Like he's totally just he makes all these like very quotable things about just like how like you know, he's most of the band because he's the presence, and, you know, like, yeah, it has nothing to do with the record or the music or the writing. It's the presence.
Okay.
It's
sounds like, a lot like me.
Yeah. Maybe after a few cocktails. Yes. But it's, and so anyway, it's just, it's really pretty interesting. If you're really into electronic music,
that, actually, I would be interested.
It's pretty interesting.
One fun fact, and Tyson, I know you will know this song, is when this Tom Hooker guy is talking, and apparently, like, there were, like, apparently this whole, like, having an image as the front man or front woman and having someone else, like, was not a terribly uncommon practice. And one of his other ones was, which this really hurt my heart because I love this song, is Tom Lykus's Boom Boom, Let's Go Up to My Room. Do you know the song, Tyson? I'm sure you
Yeah, I have not heard about it. I've not heard that.
Dave used to have the 12-inch. But yeah, kind of, yeah, I was like, oh, he did that too. So yeah, so apparently, like, this guy, like, it was just like kind of a thing that they did in Italy for a while.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a long time.
So really interesting. Even if you're not, it's really not about the music. It really is just kind of these two guys and the, you know, how the one guy seems wronged and, like, the famous one. It's, but then you also kind of feel for the famous guy because he's, like, got nothing. And, like, I mean, he's not making bank by any means because he didn't have, like, the writer and production credits. So he didn't, like, so his back end wasn't terribly great while the other guys was pretty decent. So,
this guy's doing whatever the Italian Branson circuit would be. Exactly. Equivalent.
Precisely. is Rome residency. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do in there. But anyway, it's on Amazon. It's free.
What's the name again?
It's called Dawns of Disco. It looks like Dawns of Disco. 2018. Okay. Quick watch, too. It's like 80 minutes. So it's
nice.
You know, you've just got a lazy Sunday afternoon and you want to, you know, watch some hunks, which is what I should
do.
Pretty hunky. He's pretty, if you were in, like, early 80s hunks, there's also that aspect for it. He's very tan, very tan. And actually, that's like one of the funniest things about it, too, I forgot to mention, is, like, he's trying to pass him off. He passes himself off as an American, but he clearly can't speak English.
Yes.
He's supposed to be from Boston, and so, like, all these, there's this little montage which is I'm not ruining anything, but it's a little montage of people, like, asking him, like where are you from, and he answers, like, in their native language, like, I'm from Boston or whatever. It's quite amusing. Matt Damon, he is not. So anyway, Dawson,
I got a few. First, what are you gonna listen to this week? I'll tell you. This Miles, a light for attracting attention. Tyson, I feel like you brought up the Smile a couple weeks ago.
Because they're coming to Denver. I thought you might want to go.
Yeah. I'm working on tickets. They're coming to Denver in December.
You said the Smile?
The Smile. Johnny Greenwood and Tom York from Radiohead are in it. I'm still confused as to why they came up with that name or how they came up with that name.
The drummer from Song of Kerman's in it too. And he's.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. I actually
Tyson's
know.
Sticking up for the drummer. I like it. You're good.
Well, you know, it's weird. I heard one of the singles on the radio and I was like, this is pretty good. I didn't know who it was until I heard the singing. And then I was like, oh, I got this.
Oh, you know immediately. Yeah. Yeah.
But I haven't listened to the record yet. But, I mean, I didn't. I actually kind of like the single. The single that I listened to, I don't know what it's called. But it's the one with the crazy bass line that's prominent right up top.
Oh, but, I think that's the one that Jonas likes, too. He really was, like, you know, into it and told me to give it more of a listen to. And I listened to it on one of my walks last week, and it's pretty good. It's really weird, but in a very different way from Radiohead.
Are they playing bigger venues, or are they playing, like, kind of more medium sized?
It's more medium.
That's cool.
That is cool, because you're never going to see Radiohead in a medium
tickets
venue.
Tickets are fucking stupid.
Yeah, no, I saw Radiohead.
For Mission Ballroom in Denver, it's like $167.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, ugh, I might just wait for Radiohead, but we'll see.
It's hot outside.
It is so hot. Oh, God. And then there are a couple other albums I listened to that I liked. I didn't like them as much as the Smiles record, but Pete Yorn has a new one, Hawaii. I know I'll probably get made fun of by you guys, but I love Music for the Morning After. That's one of my favorite.
You know, Doss, I'm a huge fan.
It's so good, right?
And I don't know why.
I know why for me personally. I had a huge crush on him back in the day. It was like freshman year of college. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Oh. It's very superficial. And there are more stories to that. Anyway, I have a sentimental value attached to the record. But
I liked his last record a lot. He did it with that guy from Daywave, produced it, and I really like Daywave. So I really like the last record. Does it sound like the last record, or did you hear the last record?
Honestly, I think he's trying to. I didn't listen to the last record because I was pissed off about the previous record that he did with Scarlett Johansson, which was absolute trash, and I will argue anyone and everyone on it. Bad, 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 bad. Okay. Pete, you just do the music. Scarlett, you do the movies. Like, leave it alone. Like,
there should be a term for that. Like, it's like the palate cleanser record. Like, once you do a shit. Right? Like, you've got to do like another album in between before anyone like gives you a chance again. So it really takes it's like a two album correction.
It is like a two album correction. Yeah. That is true.
If you screw an album up, I don't know, Tyson. Yeah. You know more about this. Is it an industry term for this?
I don't know.
Pardon us on that, Tyson.
I guess I don't know though. I'm trying to think of somebody. We call it the Pete Yorn principle right now.
That's great.
I like that.
Pete Yorn principle is the name of my Pete Yorn tribute band.
That's nice.
Yeah, and he got off easy because Scarlett Johansson like collab like should add like two. I mean, like should be like, an additional record. Yeah.
That's like at least, is he going to have a career after this? We're not sure, but you know,
that's a weird. Like, I mean, I get it from like a whole Hollywood fame thing, but like I can't imagine it being good for any other reasons. But
I don't really know the backstory, though.
I don't know, but I think by the timing, she was single during that time, so that's what I was gonna say.
Tyson, they were banging,
and it makes all the sense.
Like, hey, you have a good voice, let's do a record together,
or he was like, I'd like to bang you. All right. I'll write a record for you. How about that?
That's true.
We call that the Prince principle, I think, is what.
That's right. That's true.
Whatever works. Whatever works. And then one more record I like, Foals. Do you guys listen to them? They have called Life Is Yours. It's very upbeat, and I like it.
Been a while. I really enjoyed their first or second record, and I'll check it out.
Yeah,
get into them, but people like them, so I assume they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, Tyson, you should give them a listen. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on them. I don't know if it's
almost always enough. It's almost always a trap when Dawson says to Tyson, "I'm curious to hear your thoughts about him," because that means she either thinks I'm gonna fucking hate it or. Or I'm going to come up with some take that's just completely ridiculous.
It's entertaining for everyone involved.
Like, it's like she knows better. She knows better. Like, what do you think, Tyson? Yeah.
I'd be very interested to hear your take on that, Tyson. I've heard that so many times from Dawson.
Yes, you have.
It basically means...
The tone of your voice signifies that. Yeah,
you're either going to fucking hate it or you're going to love it in a weird way. I don't know. It's just weird.
I'm thinking fucking hate it, Smith.
The what?
Do you think you'll fucking hate it? You like it. But you can go either way, I feel like.
I mean, if they got...
Fouls?
With the Fouls.
I liked what I heard. I know there's three or four.
Is there a guitar player in the band?
In the record.
Yeah, they got all the players.
Okay, well, They got a drummer, a bassist, some electronic stuff going on, they do some clapping. That line from Girls Five Ever, where she's like, "Hey, you with the long guitar," is the bass player. I think that is maybe my favorite line from the whole damn season.
Oh, brilliant. And then I just have a couple more. I love that show. Please watch that show if you haven't yet already. It's new on Netflix. And Tyson, I don't know if you and Beth finished it. Smith, I hope you and Kathy started it. The Iron Chef Quest for an Iron Legend.
We are spacing it out. So we, I think we have three more left, I think.
Okay. But you did watch the third episode, which is God, fucking amazing.
Amazing.
Good God.
The entree.
Oh, right?
Crazy. Yeah.
Unreal. Both of them are just highly impressive chefs, but damn, that guy, Chef Duffy.
Yeah.
Ugh, I want to go to that restaurant in Chicago.
Well, apparently, like, Beth is a super fan of that woman. I can't remember her name, but the Iron Chef.
Chef Kren,
yes,
I think.
Yes. Yeah.
She's lovely.
Yeah,
she was. I could see how that would be. Yeah, she's an inspiration. You can just tell when she walks into the room, everybody's just like, oh my God, who are you? Make us some food. It doesn't matter if it kind of sucks. We're going to love it anyway. Yeah.
That's right. She's we'll take great. It.
She's very French and I love it. She's like how I, you know, think of French people in general in the best way.
In the absolute best way.
Yeah, in the absolute best way.
In the French.
French women.
Having sex with cars kind of way. But
yeah, not that. Like, not, you know, that's
more like the Julia Child wannabe kind of.
Yes. Yeah.
It would be like if I ever
out with Julia.
I wonder if I ever interacted with a French person, which is possible. I would ask them how fair it is to base our understanding of French people on French cinema, and if that is fair. So I wonder if it may be like
I should have asked that question to the lead singer of Phoenix when I met him, and you guys were super annoyed by it.
We weren't annoyed. We took the picture.
Oh, that's true. But Tyson was like, okay, Dawson, stop talking about it, which I still haven't forgotten. So a little bit better.
I encouraged you to go over there. Remember?
You did. But do you remember what I said? I was like, he's a little stinky.
Yeah.
That was something I did bring back to the table.
Yeah. Well, we could have told you that before you went over there.
That's a little hot goss for the crowd.
It's a little hot goss. Don't get too close.
Phoenix might be a little stinky. Yeah.
A little stinky.
They had a new single come out this week.
So I haven't listened to it yet. It's
okay. It's okay. Yeah. It reminded me of old Phoenix, which I much prefer.
I like that.
I like old Phoenix.
Everybody did, but.
And then he married Sofia Coppola, and it went tits up.
I love
her, but I'm gonna blame that relationship.
It's a bad thing, just in general, when everybody in the band suddenly becomes a keyboard player, which is what happened on their last record. Because both guitar players and the bass player just went straight and everybody played keyboard for the whole show. It's like, what's going on here? Like, come on, guys. Like, that's your whole thing. You're the French Hall & Oates. Come on, just stick with it. You know, but
French Hall & Oates.
That's how I felt when we were dancing to them. I was like, God damn.
Oh, so much fun. So much dancing. I love it.
A lot of dancing. Anyway.
A movie on Netflix called Operation Mincemeat. Have you guys watched this yet?
No, it's been on my watch list, so I'm curious what you're thinking.
Do it to it. Yeah. I had no idea about this story where they, I mean, okay, long story short, it's during World War II. Another one of those, but you know what? For people who don't like those, you can fuck right off because those are the best stories. It's incredible period of time.
America's Greatest Generation.
Yeah, exactly. I love how serious you got. But so two intelligence officers use a corpse and false papers to outwit the German troops. And it is such a cool story. I had no idea about it. The acting's really good. You got Colin Firth in there.
So it's like
a guy from Succession in there.
So basically it sounds like a period piece remake of Weekend at Bernie's?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, it does get a little Weekend at Bernie's, especially this one scene, I'm not going to say, but I was like, what? They actually did that? Holy shit.
I was kidding, but now I really want to watch it.
No, I mean, now that I'm like thinking about it, it's Weekend at Bernie's during the Second World War. I'm dying. Anyway, if you've seen it, I hope you're dying too. And that ends my plugs. No unplugs this week. I liked everything.
Wow, that's a good one. I liked everything.
Yep.
I liked everything.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, I got to pee, so let's wrap up.
All right. Well, okay, always a pleasure.
I just want to say, like, so this is like the fourth or fifth episode in a row that Matt has left to go pee in the middle of.
Yes.
Way to call him out, Tyson.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, come on, man. Like, you know, do show
Stick
prep.
With it.
It's right there. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I can. It's just giving you guys a heads up. But I'm not going to say anything.
I would say that Smith is smarter than us by taking a break to go do it, because you and I are like wetting ourselves.
If I took a break to do it, we would have 3-hour podcasts, and we can't. It's like the only governor I have to keep me from just continuing to talk. So I mean, it's almost a necessity.
Really. Yeah, I don't know.
I teared up on that one. That's hilarious.
All right. Well, I think not next week, but maybe the weekend after that, we're going to do. Oh, next week is our 60th show. It is.
Our 60th show.
You know what? I think I'm going to do this week is I'm going to go back and all your little hashtags when you post these things.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a chart. I'm going to make a list. So when we reference something, I can just look at the list and be like, for more information about Titan, go to episode 46. And I'm going to distribute it to you guys, and then it can be just very self-referential and just almost to the point of navel gazing. So,
interesting.
See how it goes.
Also, our lowest rated show, but I really don't know how they rate these things.
We've reached out for advisement.
We've written an angry email.
Do you guys? I was just going to ask you guys. I know I'm running long. Tyson has to pee. But that makes it all the more fun.
You already won.
The whole please advise thing. Like, I've done the whole please advise thing like 3 times in my professional career, but it felt empowering to me. Like, please advise. Like, it's not a total dick, but please advise.
Oh, that's good. I should have ended it like that instead of get back to me as soon as possible.
My dad has the best one. My dad has, he's like, it's this comment is like, fuck you, strong letter to follow. Like,
whoa!
I know.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
It's straight to the point.
Sounds like your dad and my dad probably deal with telemarketers in exactly the same fashion.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they deal with them well.
But anyway, what I was going to say is we're going to do a show. The first show we've ever done together in a couple weeks.
So yeah.
We'll all be in the same room. So you can look forward to that.
Yeah,
It will be sponsored, kind of, not really, by Taco Shop in Hayes, America.
And we'll probably bleed over into each other's mics, which will be annoying and funny for everyone. So that'll be funny, too.
Our ranking that week will probably be 463. Who knows?
That's what I was going to say. So our ranking this week or last week was 326. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
We've ranked as high as 1, and we've even ranked beyond 1, which was 0.
Yes.
One week we were 0 out of how many? I don't know.
I'm going to post those ranks, rankings rather, probably this week.
So we believe there's some shenanigans going on with the rating system, and we've established our own.
We're literally off the charts.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We literally were off the charts. So
That was my favorite week because you couldn't tell if it was good or bad. You know,
not at all. We're like,
I have a theory, and that is because my sister and my dad were on vacation last week, and they didn't listen to it because they were with the kids on vacation. So normally we're in the 40s or 50s sometimes. I think maybe just those two listens kicked us all the way down to 326.
It's like Schrodinger's cats. Like, if you don't listen, this podcast may not exist. Like, it's not just like a probability experiment. Like, it's true. Like, it may not exist if you don't listen. So please.
For the love of God, listen this week, God. Rick and Sally. Jesus.
Our existence depends on it.
Okay, wrap this up. I gotta go.
All right, wrap it up.
Bye, thank God. All right. See ya.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening.
Later. Thanks, all.
ice pack with a brand new edition something.
You just can't step away. You just can't.